Well, let's look in the Bible, shall we? Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll look at verse number 10. As you find your place in Ephesians 2, I did hear this story about this lady that was at a grocery store. And as she was at this grocery store, she happened upon this granddad and a little boy about three or so. And boy, he was just a terror. He was poorly behaved, and grandpa had his hands full, that's for sure. And so the little boy would holler out for the candy and scream. And then when he got the cookies, he'd holler out for the cookies in that aisle. He'd do the same for the cereal and the Cokes and all that. Everywhere he went, you could just hear him over the store. Meanwhile, the grandpa was just working very patiently, going to get his stuff on his list, and he's working around, and he's just kind of crying, sobbing there a little bit in a controlled voice, though, but he just kind of speaks, says, "Easy, Albert, we won't be long. Easy, boy." Another outburst somewhere else in the store, and Gramps is calmly just saying, "Okay, Albert, it won't be long. Just a couple more minutes. We're going to be out of here. Hang in there, boy." At the checkout, the little boy's reaching for candy bars and all that, and still the grandpa's just talking, "Albert, it's okay. Relax, buddy. Buddy, don't get upset. It's okay. We'll be home in about 5 minutes. Stay cool." And boy, the wife or the lady is just very, very impressed, so much so that she follows him out to the parking lot. And she says, "Wow, sir." I said, "Not my business, but I just wanted to commend you." So, "Wow, you stayed so cool while you're getting your groceries. And wow, that's just amazing." And she said that Albert is so lucky to have a grandpa like you. And he said, "Well, thank you." He said, "But what are you talking about?" He said, "Yeah, Albert, the little boy is just so lucky to have a grandpa like you." He said, "Lady, I appreciate it, but my name is Albert. I'm the one doing the talking to myself. This little terror, he's Stephen." So, "Grandpa, Alec, Albert, just settle down. You'll be okay. You'll be all right." So, you might have talked to yourself that way through the store as well. "It's all right. 5 more minutes. We're home. We're home." Taking this grandkid back to his mom. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I love, like everybody does, verses 8 and 9. Let's look at those. "We might as well, for by grace are you saved through faith," verse 8. "That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so I love that, and we'll continue to love it and quote it and read it and put it in sermons. I love the comfort that it gives at reminding us of the grace that saves us. But then I want you to look at the comfort and the beauty of verse number 10 for our message this morning. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We're His workmanship. And I want to preach on that for a little while. Created unto good works. God didn't make any mistakes. He didn't make any accidents. I've had people tell me, as you have as well, say, "Well, I was not planned. I was an accident. I was not born when I was supposed to be," or this, that. I said, "Well, the family might not have been planning, but God's got big plans for you in whatever He wants you to do." Father, be with us now is our prayer. I ask you to meet with us in this moment. Dear Lord, bless us in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thomas Edison, the famed inventor of the light bulb, as all of us know, he started and founded the Edison Illuminating Company. I'm told it's the first investor-owned utility. As they started that, it eventually became General Electric. We know that he invented those. We invented a lot of other things. You've got at your house, as we do, some alkaline batteries. He was instrumental in the technology for those alkaline batteries that are used for that DC current. But of all the great inventors, all the people who have come up with different things that we could list today, none of them begin to compare to the God that created this world and created all that we see. People will come through here and sometimes through the week, and they'll look at the auditorium and they'll say how beautiful these stained glass windows are and how nice it is to see that sun shine through. I say that you're right. I enjoy every time I come in here, but I tell you what I enjoy more than the sun shining through those beautiful stained glass windows, and that is the sun that gets to shine through those beautiful stained glass windows, because I have a little bit of an idea, as do you, how these stained glass windows were made. I have no clue, except for what the Bible says it happened, how the sun that shines through these windows were created by the Word of God. And I'm saying this morning that we've got a great God, and of all the inventors that have done wonderful things, and they've put things in your life, and they've made things nicer in my life, but we sit here this morning, and you and I are wonderful workmanship of God Almighty. And I'm afraid that I meet many people throughout my weeks, And they don't understand that they are a precious vessel that God has made for a specific purpose. Psalm 139, verse 14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometime you get a chance to read through that psalm and let your heart be encouraged about, about the power, the majesty, the authority, and the wonderful aspects of God. But this verse got me as I'm looking for the message this morning. I want you to see a couple things right from this textual message right here in this one verse, verse number 10. I see, first of all, the origin of your life and your work. Look in it, would you? For we are His workmanship. We're His workmanship. You didn't come up with this on your own. You didn't think, well, what could I do? Sometimes people will say, well, if I could have made, we went to that beautiful wedding last night out at Harvest Acres, and people will say when they're in that wonderful time of marriage, well, if I could have ordered a bride or ordered a husband, you'd be perfect. That's what they say then. Now, some years down the road, then they'll say, you're nothing like what I want. But that's not Hunter and Mia. They won't be that way. I know that. But they'll say, you're exactly what I would have ordered. Well, I don't know about all that, but I know that if God wanted us different, He could have made us different. And I see here in this passage that we are His workmanship. And may I say it like this, that my God, your God, doesn't make any junk. He understands what was needed. G. Campbell Morgan, who pastored in London right before Martin Lloyd-Jones, he pastored there in London. He said this, for good works is not a narrow phrase referring merely to a specific act of so-called Christian service. He said it refers to the whole life. Let me read it one more time for you. He said, for good works is not a narrow phrase referring merely to the specific acts of Christian service, so to speak. He said that good works, it refers to the whole life. I don't know what you'll be involved in this week, and you don't know what I'll be involved in this week, and I don't know what I'll be involved in this week, and you don't know what you will be. But I know that there's going to be small and maybe large opportunities for you to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not just speaking of giving a gospel tract out, although we all ought to be doing that, get the gospel out. But I'm talking about serving people and doing good works to different people. There's a need for all of us to march out of here and all throughout our week for our coworkers and our family and our neighbors and the people we meet, the folks at Walmart and at Food City. I understand that it's easy for me to get up and say, I'm supposed to be nice to everybody in this room as they come in and as they leave. You say, you're right, you should be nice to all of us because you're the pastor. But I can go a step further than that. I'm supposed to be nice to everybody that I see over at Food City as well. I'm supposed to be nice to everybody I go to because I'm a Christian, not because I'm your pastor, but because I'm bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saying that there's an origin of my life and work. I'm supposed to be His workmanship, as the Bible says. I'm supposed to be that one that carries out His will in my life. But so are you. I read some years ago about a fellow named Homer Gilliland. He was a hairdresser. He was in a goldsmith's department store in Memphis, Tennessee. And as he was the hairdresser here, one of his customers or clients was Gladys Presley. And so when her son started to become famous, Gladys introduced her son to Homer, the hairdresser. And so it's told to me that for 20 years, Gilliland was his preferred hairstylist, and he had a credit card allowing him to travel for those years anytime that Elvis Presley would call and want him to come and fix up that hair that became so famous as he would perform for different people. I'm also told that he kept some of those clippings, and that after he was gone in 2002, some were sold for $115,000. My hair, I don't have to have clippings. Mine's falling out on the front here because of age, I guess, but nobody wants to pay 15 cents for mine, let alone $115,000. Don't look so mad. Some of you all, you're losing it too, but I don't think yours is going for anything that's much either. But it seems like we put prices on things because of celebrities that, wow, it's more valuable because so-and-so had that, touched that, signed that, used that. But my friend, you and I are not the workmanship of some celebrity. You and I are not the possession of somebody. We instead are created and led by the Almighty God, the one that flung the stars into existence. And so somehow you and I are now realizing that we're equipped for the tasks that lie ahead of us this week because of who has authored our life and our work. Amen. You're not on this by yourself. You are not out here just saying, well, go. You're not a pinball bouncing around from event to event just saying, well, what's next? You may not know what's next, but my friend, our God knows what's next, and He says that you are His workmanship. I see the origin of our life and work. But I want you to see not only that, look back in verse number 10, not only the origin, but the orders that are given to us. We sometimes have championed verse 8 and 9 so much, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, and we will continue to champion that, that you didn't get saved by doing good works, you didn't get saved by joining this church or 10 other churches, you didn't get saved by doing things. Instead, it's by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. That's the only way the Bible talks about salvation. But sometimes we've championed that so much that we have gotten to a place where we said, well, I don't work at all. When I was in England, there's a little tagline on the churches that they have, that they've started, and they'll say this, a working church. Meaning that they want the members to be actively involved at the church, yes, but throughout the week. You say, why would that be a tagline, or why would that be a little descriptive title? Well, you think about the Anglican church that they are all surrounded by. Those ones, you just come, you sit, people do it for you. It's pretty much like a production, and then you leave. Well, they are keen on and want their folks to know that this is a working church. Well, my friend, you and I are supposed to be working Christians. We are not only His workmanship, but we are His workmanship. And we are, the Bible says, we are ordained unto good works. You've read before probably of a missionary named Jim Elliot. He was led of the Lord to be a missionary to the Akan Indians in Ecuador. Many of his friends and family tried to get him to stay home because it was so dangerous, and he was killed. He was the one that was famous for saying, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He gave his life for the Lord's service. I'm told through reports that he had a gun in his pocket, but he'd already covenanted with God that he wouldn't kill one of the Akan Indians if his life was the only one it would save, because they did not know Christ and he did. His wife, after his death, eventually went back down to minister to the Akan Indians, to the people, very people that killed her husband. She was convinced, and he was convinced before, that God had given the orders to have good works. The Scripture says we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so, my friend, I'm challenging everybody to realize that we are ordered by God, we are equipped by God, but we are also equipped in order to do something for the Lord. And I challenge every Christian to take this week as an opportunity to fulfill the will of God in whatever vein you're in, whatever circumstances God puts you in. I see the orders that He's given. But before we leave this morning, I want you to see the ordination that's established by God. Back in our text again, He said we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ordained means prepared, set apart. Push over here on the side so that you're set for a certain thing. Way back 20-some years, almost 30 years ago, I guess, the deacons and the pastor of the Ripley Baptist Temple in Ripley, West Virginia, 3,000 people in the town, that church brought me up to the front, and pastor and deacons put their hands on me and prayed and set me apart, ordained me for something. You say, what did they ordain you for? This. They didn't know you then, and I didn't know you then. They didn't know how my life would twist and turn and other places I served as well. But they set aside somebody that they felt like that God's direction was on them, me, and said, we are ordaining you into the gospel ministry. And that's what the scripture says here about the Lord and our good works. He says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, walk in what? Walk in those good works that he has created us in Christ Jesus to do. God has a wonderful plan prepared for you and for me that I'm supposed to be engaged in. It's before God knew we were going to get saved and knew we were going to need his direction. A man had stayed in a hotel in Montreal, Canada, the Windsor Hotel, and as was his custom, he got out the Gideon Bible that was in the nightstand. He would read it. It wasn't normally he did this, but he felt a great burden and a leading to write some of the spiritual concerns, his testimony, some of the spiritual concerns that he'd had in the pages on the back of that Bible. One of his greatest concerns was his son that wasn't saved. He was away from God and not honoring God in his life at all. You won't believe this, and I didn't when I read it, but it came from a credible source. It's bad when a pastor says, I'm not preaching now, I'm telling you the truth. Right? I'm not preaching now, I'm telling you the truth. But 3 years later, that man's son stayed in that hotel by his own testimony. And he did what wasn't normal for him to do. It was normal for his dad, but he did what was not normal for him and not his custom. He got the Gideon Bible from the nightstand and he flipped through it because God was convicting him and he recognized writing in the back of it. It was his dad who had written some of the spiritual thoughts that he'd had and had written about the great burden he had for his son to be saved. Because of his dad's care, because of the Word of God, because of the Holy Spirit's conviction on him, that man slid down and bowed and trusted Christ, called out to God in mercy, and called out to God and asked him to save him. God had a prepared path for that dad to stay there. You say, how in the world could that happen? It's like one person said, man, isn't that a coincidence? And an old preacher says, I understand what you're saying, but it's amazing. The more I pray, the more coincidences I have in life. My friend, God had ordained, the ordination of the established was established rather by God, and God had that plan worked out. You think God is preferential treatment given to that family, or do you believe, as I do, that God is no respecter of persons and God wants to work in your life and he wants to work in my life and he wants me to do ordain to those good works to walk therein? Your life as a Christian is no accident. You are not going from one event to another in a haphazard fashion. You again may feel like it, but God knows where you're going to be this week. He knows where you're going to be next month. He knows what's going to happen to you. And my friend, I'm just here to tell you this morning that you and I are created unto good works. God's got a will for us. And you as a Christian, you don't have to act like, oh, who knows what will happen next. God knows what will happen next. And you and I are his workmanship. Rest assured that in the Old Testament, Noah was created for the purpose of God to build that big ark. Abraham was created for the purpose of God, and David, although each of them got off track in their individual lives, but they were created for the purpose of God. But let me go a step further. You've read back in Chronicles like I have, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so begat so-and-so, and the days of their pilgrimage were this many years. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and your eyes kind of glaze over those, sometimes glaze over when you're reading those as well. But can I just tell you that God knows each and every one of those people in those lists that were put there, and he also had a plan for their life. Not just the big ones, not just the famous ones, not just the ones that everybody knows their name. My friend, to the person in this church that just came this morning, and you feel like nobody knows me because I'm just here. My friend, I may not know you yet, some people around you, they may try to get to know you, but they don't yet. But God Almighty does. And to that person today that's having the most rough time that they can imagine in their life, my friend, you are, as God said in verse number 10, He hath before ordained that you should walk in the path that He's got you to walk in. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. You know about the Lord. You've been in places like this and you'll see a cross on there and you've kind of got the gist of it, but you've never came to a place where you made Christ, you put Him as the Lord of your life, you accepted Him as Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. Can I tell you, the way that God, or what God has created you for, begins by you putting your trust, your faith, your reliance, your dependence on Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then, my friend, if you're the one that says, I did that, Pastor, that's just the beginning. God's got a great, big, wonderful life that He wants you to be. He's already ordained. He's already got it planned. He's already got it worked out that you should walk in them. Please don't take the idea that I'm just doing what I want to do in this life. Let's understand that God has a will for us, every one of us. It's easy for me. Brother Daniel mentioned a couple pastors that will come through and preach for us. And it's easy for me to look at those guys and say, wow, well, obviously God has a direction for them. No. God has a direction for each of us. It may not be to pastor the Pleasant Valley Baptist Church in Chico, California, as one of them does. Instead, it's to live in your house in Gray, Tennessee, raise your family for Christ, share the gospel with the people who you know. Be a loving dad, a loving grandpa, a loving aunt, a loving uncle. Do all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. My friend, you're not a random accident that who knows what you're going to do. Instead, we are created unto good works. I'll end the way I began and look at verse 10. With all that being said, let's read it one more time. For we are His workmanship. Right on the heels of all that great verses about grace through faith and the gift of God, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. My friend, you don't know what I'm going to do this week. I don't know what you're going to do this week. As I mentioned, I don't know what I'm going to do this week. Everything, I've got some plans, but so many things could change. But nothing will sneak up on God Almighty. And I'm asking each one of us to have a different mindset when we leave than when we came. Please walk out of these doors knowing that God's got a will for my life. He's got a direction for me. He wants me to do some things. And then go out and serve Him gladly. And if you're here unsaved, not sure Christ is your personal Savior, then I can tell you with no reservation what God's will is for your life. His will is for you to get saved. You say, Pastor, how can you say that so emphatically? Because the Bible says that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is teaching out there that says that certain people, God wants them saved, and certain people, He doesn't want saved. But the Scripture clearly says He would have all mankind to be saved. His precious blood, Christ's precious blood, was shed for the sins of the world. If you're here and you're not saved, the first step of finding God's will for you is to come to Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I've done that. Praise the Lord, I've got it. Then let's walk out of here knowing that you are not alone, knowing that God's got something for you this week, knowing that He's got a will, a desire, and a path for you and I to walk on. That puts some weight on it, because if He wants me to do some things, I got to check up with Him pretty often. If He wants me to do some things, I got to make sure I'm not at the wrong place when He wants me somewhere else. He doesn't want me down here at the bar, and want you there either, for that matter. Rather, out of us, out where He wants us. We're created unto good works. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us, I pray, dear Lord, I pray for my friends that you would help each and every one of them understand, dear Lord, that you've not forgotten them. You're not leaving them as a free agent. You're not leaving them out to wander in the wilderness without your hand and guidance, even when they feel like they're a little distant, dear Lord. You know what you're doing in their life. Bless them, I pray, dear Lord, and we'll certainly thank you for it. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, thank you. Thank you for ordaining some things in my life. Thank you for setting me apart for certain things. Thank you for creating me unto good works. Whatever your need is, I trust that you would talk to the Lord. Maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you need to only pray. You just need to pray there in your seat. I'm wherever God leads you to go. But I want everybody to march out of here knowing that God's got a will for your life. You are not left as a wanderer. Sometimes it feels like that in our jobs, problems, issues. We're created unto good works. As these pray, maybe God's speaking to your heart today. You're not sure that you're saved on your way to heaven. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, you say, Pastor, I certainly want to go. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to face an eternity without Jesus, without God. You say, would you pray for me that I would be saved? Would you lift your hand up and let me pray for you? I won't pray for you. I won't call your name out. You'd say, Pastor, please pray for me. Lift your hand up. I'm looking right now. Brother Daniel's right down here in front of the pulpit that I preach from, and you need somebody to pray with you. Would you step out and come? They play just one more verse. This is yours if God's moving upon your heart. Don't leave without doing business with Him. May look this way, and thank you so much for being in church this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Jordan Smith, if you don't mind, to come and dismiss us in prayer, and I invite you back tonight at 6:30. Lord willing, I'm going to preach from Galatians 6:14 and ask this question, should I glory? You can look that up if you want on the way after church and this afternoon, but what a joy to be in God's house, and as I mentioned, my wife is gone, but Allie and I will be back in the lobby, and you pray for Amy. She's at church today. She's going to come back this afternoon, hopefully be here by tonight, but Allie and I will be back there. If there's something we can do for you, please let us know. We look forward to greeting you. Brother Jordan, come pray for us.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for an opportunity to be back at your house. Lord, thank you for the word that was preached this morning. Lord, we are your workmanship. Lord, I'm thankful that you ordained a few things in our life. I pray, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct each heart here. Lord, may we be your workmanship this week. May we share the gospel, open doors. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring us all back tonight. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.